There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 885, May 10th, 2021. Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say Raquel Welch and Jim Brown starring in 100 Rifles, Lewis Carl Hamilton starring in 100 Pole Positions and shooting to the max. Now back to Mr. Rogers, the Oscar Mayer of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Truex wins in Darlington. Dijon 79 is what I call competition. Barca 21 is what I call sleepy time. LCH wants a new contract by summer because he wants 9, 10, 11, and 12. And I want to remind everybody, we need your contributions to keep this program on the servers. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know you want to, just to fill everybody in. Once again, Gary is once a month. Nobody bid on the wine, but anybody who can and wants to bid on the wine, opening bid is $70. All goes to the F1 Weekly charity. Nass, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Well, I am shell-shocked here. We had a situation where a driver matched Michael Schumacher's achievement and Ayrton Senna's achievement in one race, and F1 Weekly podcast starts with Martin Truex and Lenis Carr. So the world is coming to an end. Thanks for the confirmation.
You're welcome.
Apart from that, everything else is quiet on the Western and Eastern fronts. How is you?
I'm fine, sir. Keep up the good work. More LCH for all of us. I know you love every minute of it.
Well, you know, just when we thought we were going to have a dogfight in 2021 for the F1 Championship, your favorite driver seems to be getting all the elbow, as they say in Premier League football. Lewis Hamilton 3, Max Verstappen 1. You know what is interesting, Mr. Rogers? It was not too long ago that it was Red Bull that would surprise everyone with clever and bold pit and race strategy. Now the heat is on and they seem to be losing the edge in this area. But one has to feel for Max. He is in the same spot as your previous favorite driver, Nando, when he was trying to win the championship in a Ferrari. Race after race, taking the car where it does not belong. I think it would be a Sunday stroll in Central Park for both Lewis and his teammate, Valtteri Bottas, if Red Bull drivers were Albon, Gasly, or Kvyat, or JV. But you know, we still have a long way to go to Abu Dhabi, and the next race is Monaco, and Max better put that car on pole, otherwise it's gonna be 4-1, and pretty much dishes will be done. What say you, amigo?
Yeah, I mean, poor Bottas, everybody's picking on him. Even Lewis Hamilton feels sorry for Bottas, but let's face it, the guy's doing the best he can.
Yes, you know, and I frankly don't hold this against him. I mean, look at all the teammates who were had the luxury of saying Ayrton Senna was my teammate, Jim Clark was my teammate, Michael Schumacher was my teammate. I mean, you know, and of course, 10 years down the road, there will be a long list of drivers saying, yeah, I was teammate to Max Verstappen. I lasted 4 months. I mean, that's pretty amazing story there. Sir, shall we move on to a little serving of collie?
Please.
In all the races, At Circuit de Catalunya, only 3 times the winner has come from outside the front row. In the past 8 races, there was a Mercedes front row lockout 7 times, so they pretty much own the circuit here. It is crystal clear, like AT&T, how good the numero unos are at Mercedes and Red Bull. Their teammates cannot reach out and touch them, so what chance do people have driving other cars? A very historical moment, and I would like to get your take on this. On Saturday in qualifying, as LCH grabs his 100th pole position, that made me very, very excited. Only 5 teams, and I repeat, teams, not drivers, have reached this incredible milestone. So our congratulations deep from the heart of Oviedo for Lewis, Mercedes, and most important to Papa Anthony Hamilton, who started this epic journey. We don't see him very rarely at the races. You know, a couple of years ago, I ran into him at one of the races, and I had a brief chat. And I asked him, are you managing any young drivers? Because he used to manage Nick DeVries and got into a famous lawsuit with Paul Di Resta. He says, no, young drivers are all prima donnas, so I manage football players now. So good for him. Now, Lewis's first pole position was in his rookie season as teammate to Don Alonso in 2007 in Oak, Canada. And since then, he's been pouring on some hot maple syrup on the competition, as you call it. He said bye-bye to Senna and Schumacher's number of poles in 2017. And this is very impressive. After Colli, he was interviewed by Textmeister Pedro de la Rosa. And Pedro de la Rosa was present basically to warm up the car when Lewis Hamilton tested the Formula One machinery for the first time. And he has been quoted many times saying that on Lewis's second lap, he knew Pedro's F1 career was pretty much over. And this is what Lewis said to him. And I quote, I can't believe we're at 100. And it's down to the men and women who are back at the factory, who are continuously raising the bar and never giving up. The support I have, it's a dream for me to work with these guys, and the journey that we have been on has been immense. End of quote. This was Sir 9th consecutive pole for Mercedes in Montmeló, where the track is located, just outside Barcelona. Question is, if there was no Max at Red Bull, would there be any competition for Lewis, as Bottas is pretty much his baby doll? You know, what is interesting, Mr. Rogers, they've been doing chop-chop for drivers at Red Bull, trying to get somebody who can push Max. So they bring in Sergio Perez, who I think has done very well and really applied his commitment to his trade has been very good, because he did not have a very impressive junior Formula career like his fellow Mexican Esteban Gutierrez. But interestingly, in Barcelona, the biggest gap between the teammates was between Max Verstappen and Sergio Perez, 0.892. And Perez, along with Nando and Norris, went slower in Q3 than Q2. And 100 is very important for Max also. This was his 100th Grand Prix start, and second in Barcelona on the grid was his first front row start in Viva España. Your thoughts and 2 cents on Colli, sir?
Colli? Well, I predicted pole position for Lewis Hamilton, and there it was. Yeah, I mean, NASCAR is not very predictable, but I hate to say it, but Formula One's pretty predictable.
I got to tell you, you've been making fantastic predictions in the last 2 years. I mean, you said last year, halfway through the season, 2021 world champion will be Lewis. And that's what it looks like.
I think a lot of other millions of people have decided that as well.
After listening to you?
No, just watching television.
So you mean they're facing up to reality, finally?
Finally? When did the hybrid era start?
2014.
Oh, there you go.
You know what was interesting? A comment was made during the telecast, and I think it was Martin Brundle. I'm not 100% sure, but the comment was that passing in Barcelona is as easy as in Monte Carlo. And I just had a feeling that whoever gets the lead after the first corner will, you know, will have a very good chance. Did you like the move by Max? Elbows out with razor blades, as Martin Brundle called it.
Yeah, I mean, that was the best part of the race, lap one.
Yes, and it was pretty much like when he barged ahead of Sebastian Vettel some years ago in Mexico and then got on the team. Haha, that's the way we do it. He didn't get too excited this time because he knew it was a long race and the man in the other car was not going to give up easy. But you know what is interesting? 2 years ago, Mercedes served a mighty fine Hungarian goulash to Red Bull at the Hungaroring, of course. And on Sunday, they served fresh paella, farm fresh paella to the same team. I was very, very surprised that they did not bring in Max for the second pit stop, knowing the history, which I'm sure they have not forgotten. Plus, there was a lot of laps left at that time. Even if they had brought in him later, a little bit later, he would have had that time. He would have that time to do to Lewis what Lewis did to him in Hungary. Were you surprised by that decision to leave him out, sir?
I was a bit surprised, but Christian Horner knows better than I do. But yeah, when you're going up against Toto, you better make sure you cross all your T's and dot all your I's.
And take care of the umlauts also. Yeah, the might of Mercedes and the magic of LCH giving him fifth consecutive victory in Barcelona, matching the record of most successive wins at the same track with Senna, which he achieved at Monte Carlo. And you know what was very impressive? He also matched six wins in the same city, which was previously enjoyed by Schumacher. So the question to you, Mr. Rogers, is very simple, and that is very important. Will Max win his first championship before Lewis gets his ninth championship?
No. Unless Max goes to Mercedes, I mean, it's going to be the best car for a while. So Max, I think Max believes he's at Mercedes next year.
Do you remember when Ayrton Senna, when Prost was at Williams, he made an announcement that he would offer his services to Williams for free? Do you remember that?
Yep.
I think Max should do something like that and basically force the hand of Toto Wolff to hire him. And because, you know, this guy deserves to be in the best car. And with Lewis, it will be McLaren 1988 or McLaren 2007, which you don't remember. But this kid needs to be in a car that will complement his immense talent. But do you think that will happen?
No, and there are another 20 guys that'd like to be in the car too. Because, I mean, that's just the way it is.
You're right, another 20. Even if there were 40 guys who wants to be in that car, chances are 38 of them cannot do what Lewis is doing. I mean, that's just the reality. And I think Nico Rosberg may confirm that. But there is somebody even more important who has a few things to say about LCH, and we shall come to it. Your thought on Bottas being told to let Lewis, don't hold up Lewis.
Bottas has that written on his shirt when he wakes up in the morning. He has to always give way to LCH. It's in the contract.
Oh, I think you know what Mercedes should do to give him the message nicely, politely? Like when he checks into a hotel, you know, which of course Mercedes pays for it, or Petronas, they should provide everything in two. Like two soap bars, two shampoos, two towels, two nitro. So it will be totally ingrained in his mind that he is number two. Two eggs for breakfast.
I think it's already ingrained.
Or get him a lifelong supply of Wrigley, double the pleasure. But it's sad we make fun of him this way, but, you know, it's not like his teammate is Felipe Massa or somebody he can beat and fight for the championship. He did get the famous Felipe baby message. He may not be throwing toys out of the pram like Yuki and another F1 driver, but he sure took his time handing the milk bottle to Pepito of the team. And in the other team, with the Raging Bull and Dr. Kevorkian of driver management and expedited eradication, looks like they can't bring anyone into the second seat who can be within half a second of Max. Their golden goose is missing the basket of performance and package to deliver a Formula One championship egg. So, what do you think will happen, Mr. Rogers, in Monte Carlo? Are we going to see some competition, or it will be another pole position for Lewis, and he will say, you know what I was thinking, what would be great in Monte Carlo? If Bottas gets pole, Max is second and Lewis is third. Lewis will have to pass Max before they can tell him to, you know, hey, Boudreaux, move over. And Max is not going to let him go of all the places in Monte Carlo. What say you?
Max has to get pole in Monte Carlo and manage the tires. So it's going to be tricky. And Lewis Hamilton was talking about the Red Bull bendy wing, insinuating that maybe they're cheating. But the bendy wing, I think, was deemed legal by the FIA. And the bendy wing won't help too much in Monaco, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. All I know is Verstappen needs pole, or he's in a heap of trouble.
And you know, interestingly, fourth race of the season, first race that was won from pole position. So from that point of view, we do have some excitement. Now, Monday morning has broken and Spanish bird Nando has spoken. This is what he said about Lewis Hamilton. And I quote, "I think it's an amazing achievement that shows how good Lewis is. In not only one lap, but also in a race situation. We see in the victories, in the podium finishes, in the championships. He has dominated the sport for a few years now, and he gets better and better every time." End of quote. Do you disagree with your Dios?
Never. He is the machismo.
And you agree with what he's saying about Lewis?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's good. Okay, sir, Bottas, same, and Max, same three drivers were on the podium as in the past few years. I don't know what the future is for Bottas at Mercedes or in Formula One. I think it's high time that they challenge the numero uno with new face in the time. And we all know it's not going to be Max. Most likely it will be George Russell. Now, I understand there's a lot of hype about him, and very rightly so, after his performance in Bahrain last year. But rattling the cage of Valtteri is very different than cracking the nut, that is LCH. The only way to find out is give the man an opportunity in 2022, and let's see what happens. And if that experiment does not work out, then we can congratulate Lewis on his 9th championship before the season begins. You know, a lot of time when a very top-line driver gets competition from another top-line driver, you know, they rise up to the challenge. What's your assessment on George Russell and Lewis?
I mean, Lewis is a given. George Russell, I mean, he's only had one race in the Mercedes. I think we jumped to a lot of conclusions thinking that, wow, he could be the future British world champion. You know, it's possible, but he still has to do a full season in the Mercedes. He has to beat his teammate, the blah, the blah, and the blah.
So he won't be walking all over Lewis Hamilton, that's what you're saying?
I don't even think he's going to get the drive at Mercedes.
You think they'll keep Bottas?
No, it's going to be Lewis and Verstappen.
No, Max is not going to get there. It'll be fantastic. But I think one thing is for sure, it'll be everybody's dream, Lewis versus Max in the same team. It will destroy the team. There's no question about it. Because, you know, even when your hombre was at McLaren in 2007, half of the team was split, you know, pro Nando. And it's expected, you know, the guys who work on his car would be pushing for him. So it will destroy the team's harmony. And I don't think Toto Wolff is interested in that. He does not have the ruthlessness of Ron Dennis or Patrick Head and Frank Williams. You know, they were old school. If you know, you're racing against 19 drivers, that's their philosophy. So we'll see. But I have to, you know, I agree with you that rattling the cage of Lewis, if Max is having a hard time, granted he's not in the same car, I would be very surprised that George can pass Lewis on the outside when they race for the first time. But Lewis did that in 2007. We have to give this man an opportunity and then see from there. Okay, sir, now we move on to Charles Leclerc. His Ferrari was prancing ahead of Bottas in third in the early stages of the race, and it was good to see Scuderia with some real pace. His teammate Carlos Sainz Jr. was 7th, but he is keeping close company with Leclerc in terms of pace both in quali and race. Now we come back to Sergio Perez. In the old Sparky, was 5th. Just my humble opinion, as long as Max is at Red Bull, their second seat will be the electric chair. I just hope the last meal offered by Dr. Marco is a bit more tasty than mushy peas and kidney pudding. Now, there was a lot of talk and hope that Sergio will take the fight to Max. Looks like he is an improvement on other lab rats of Dr. Marco, but won't be giving Max any vaccine or bite to subdue him. Do you think there will be any threat to Max later in the season from Sergio Perez?
Maybe. Yeah, sure. I'm still hoping for Sergio.
It will be good where he can come up to the speed and challenge him, and at least I would like to see him stay at Red Bull for more than 1 year. Right now his contract is 1 year. When he was trying to get into Red Bull, he made some noises that he already has a deal for 2022. So we'll see how that works out. Now this was, everybody was happy for him because this is one of those few drivers in the history of Formula One that everybody likes, even his competitors. Daniel Ricciardo, smiling assassin, finally delivered a long-awaited dingo bite to his teammate to finish 6th. McLaren's podium star from Imola, Lando Norris, was 8th. Can't say Danny Boy was smiling because of his finish ahead of Lando Norris, because the man is always smiling, so which is good for him. I still think Lando Norris has already been on the podium, and I even saying last year that I do expect Ricciardo to get on the podium, and I will not be surprised if he wins a race. It has to be one of those, you know, wet, dry, kind of race. But I see a win in his eyes at McLaren. Ocon, Mr. Esteban Ocon, qualified on third row, which was very impressive, but was demoted early in the race and finished 9th. Compadre Pierre Gasly was 10th, but not a happy chappy at the end of the race. There is no love lost between Ocon and Gasly, and he was really, to use his own words, pissed off at the 5-second penalty he got for starting the race outside his box, otherwise he would have finished ahead of fellow Francais. Now his teammate Yuki Tsunoda was the first to drop out on lap 8 with technical issues, and he had to apologize to his team for saying he's not getting the same equipment as Gasly. Yuki needs to be careful with his mouth. Past 2 seasons, he was very quick to say to his team on the radio, shut up. He is very quick, both in his driving and temper. But I think if this continues, especially with Honda departing at the end of the season, I will not be surprised if Franz Tost sends him a text message, maybe through Pedro de la Rosa, saying, I have phone numbers for Scott Speed and Betantonio Liuzzi. And that will get the message understood very well. Your thoughts on his on-track, off-track antics?
It's pretty funny stuff, but yeah, he's got a mouth. He's a potty mouth, and he wants to blame the team for everything, including not giving him the same equipment as Gasly. He apologized. He's young. He's a little shoot-from-the-hip kind of a guy, so... I don't mind it. I like a little bit of you know, some ferociousness. It's about time, because this political correctness and love and everybody loves everybody is annoying.
That I have to agree with you. Do we have a Japanese version of I'm sorry, so sorry?
We do.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay, sir. Sebastian Vettel. The sad saga continues. The 4-time world champion is without a point after 4 races. I had so much hope that he will find some of his mojo back. And I remember when he won his first race with Ferrari, how happy he was. Well, I was not expecting wins this season. He is getting to a point, what is called in the financial world, a write-off, which is very sad. I would hate to see him go out in this sort of doom and gloom performance. And I believe you have already given up on him.
I have.
Very sad. Okay, this situation was, it made me think about Niki Lauda, Giovinazzi and the punctured tire in the pits. It reminded me of that Ferrari fiasco with Eddie Irvine. And I was wondering what Niki would have said of the situation. I was wondering if you would have called this the Swiss fondue culture. Wasn't that amusing, sir?
Hilarious, Nasser. You're very witty.
Oh, sir, I'm just enjoying motor racing immensely. That's all there is to it. Anything else you want to say about the world of Grand Prix racing in Spain?
Nothing, actually. I'm happy for LCH. That's all I think about is more happiness for LCH.
So you sound like the Jimmy Morrison song.
It's getting a little monotonous, you know, the same podium day after week after month after years. But that's okay. I can take it. I mean, we still have Dijon 79 on YouTube.
Yes. Like I said, you know, like the Jimmy Morrison song, I'm so down, it looks up to me. So you have no choice but to embrace LCH as a good driver. That's good. That's good. I'm just amazed, you know, that, I mean, it's not easy to win in Formula One. And of course, if you have the best car, you're going to win races. But I got to be honest with you, and I've said this before, even when he hit 80, 81 wins, I thought he will never get to Schumacher's number. Because, you know, as we saw in 2004 to 2005, Renault got very competitive and Nando, you know, dethroned him. So things can change very quickly, just as Sebastian Vettel and Fernando Alonso. So I'm just amazed that he just keeps going and going. What he now has also has a lot of experience of what Martin Hines once said to me, a driver must learn how to win and how to lose. Hemi has lost a few. So it's very, very, it's a very good package now. And he's not cocky. He's not arrogant. Of course, his lifestyle and his dress code is not for everybody, but you know, to each his own. I hope your prophecy comes true that his teammate is Max. Otherwise, clock is ticking every season, 9, 10, 11. Man, if he can get 12 championships, I think I will have to then give up Formula One. That'll be just too much.
Me too, if we make it.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And you know, we have to, whether he wins 12 or not, we have to hit 1,001 podcast if we make it till then.
Sí que buena.
Yeah, that will be very, very good. And we thank all our listeners. And it's interesting how many people have been listening to the podcast since the beginning, from the beginning. So we appreciate that very much. It's time for a break, sir, and some water.
Good idea, Nass. Why don't we take a quick break and we'll be back after these brief messages.
This F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by Speed Gear Authentic Racewear. Speed Gear is the best selection from the top teams and drivers in Formula One. Hats, shirts, sunglasses, diecast, and much more. Look to Speed Gear for your favorite team and driver apparel and collectibles. Speed Gear Authentic Racewear. Just click on the icon on our homepage. You know you want to.
Thank you, Speed Gear. Thank you, Steven. Keep up the good work.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Yes, sir. And what better place to start than the world of NASCAR? I'm curious, where was the NASCAR race? So will you please enlighten us with that information?
Yes, it was in Darlington, which was exciting and wonderful. It's a great track. It was very unpredictable, and it was very relaxing not to have Bottas, LCH, and Max on the podium.
And how many cautions?
16 cautions.
In the last 30 laps?
Correct.
Okay, that's good. Okay, sir, we're going to start. You know, normally on a Grand Prix weekend, we used to talk about Formula 1, Formula 2, Formula 3. But thanks to cost-cutting and COVID issues and all that, what they are doing now is they are doing less rounds of each series, but more races. Like, for example, in F3, they're doing 3 races. In the past, they used to do 2 per weekend. And talking of COVID, you know, the Turkish Grand Prix was going to replace the Canadian Grand Prix. Now, the Turkish Grand Prix is in limbo because UK has put Turkey on the red alert or whatever it is called, where if you come from Turkey, arriving from Turkey, you will have to be in quarantine for 2 weeks. So we may not see a Turkish Grand Prix this year, which will be very sad. Okay, sir, so we will start with the support race, Formula 3 in Barcelona. 19 nationalities are taking part, which is very impressive, including American kid Logan Sargeant, very good talent and ex-karting world champion, and also a kid by the name of Jake Crawford. He is from Charlotte, North Carolina, and is a Red Bull Junior. Juan Manuel Correa, originally from Ecuador, now residing in Miami, is making his racing comeback in this series after the Spa 2009 tragedy, which took the life of promising French driver Antoine Hubert. And he recently made a comment, because I think he is a distant relative of Mazepin, saying that he expects to be in Formula One in the next couple of years. So we wish him all the best. A lot of big names in this, second coming big names, I should say. Eduardo Barrichello is also in this series. Last year he raced here in the U.S. David Schumacher is here racing, and is Matteo Nannini. He is the nephew of Alessandro Nannini. There were two races on Saturday. The opening round of this series of the championship was won by Russian driver Alexander Smolyar. Second was Clément Novalak, and Caio Colle was third. Sargeant, he is from Boca Raton, Florida, he was fourth. The second race was serious harum scarum in the closing stages. Race leader David Schumacher, Bambino of Ralph, tangled with Enzo Fittipaldi, and both were out. New race leader Matteo Nannini played Let's Get Physical with Red Bull Junior from Norway, Dennis Hauger, which handed victory to English driver Oliver Caldwell. Second was Victor Martin from your Shangri-La, Francia, and Dane Frederick Westy was third. He is a Mercedes Junior, in other words, part of Toto's Wolfpack. Third and final race of the weekend was won by Norwegian Dennis Hauger, part of Dr. Marco's, Red Bull Juniors. And Dennis Hauger is tipped as a star of the future, but we've seen a lot of star of the future at Red Bull. But we would like to wish him well and see if he can make things happen. Did you watch any of the Formula E action from Monte Carlo, sir?
No, sir.
Yes, sir. I also did not get a chance to watch that, but hopefully we'll catch up on what you call YouTube. You know, your man Cyril Abitbol of ex-Renault, he has resurfaced in Formula One as advisor to Mechachrome. So let's see if he will slide into some F1 management role with some other team. Okay, now we will take a look at the historia of the Spanish Grand Prix. And today I thought, instead of talking about history of motor racing and Grand Prix, and Spain goes over 100 years, they had tracks in Pedralbes, Sitges, lots of places, very long history there. And some, Indy car drivers from the 1930s and 40s, they also raced in, they even had a race in San Sebastian. So that's very impressive history there. But I thought, we'll talk about drivers who won their first race in Spain. So we'll start with 1974, Niki Lauda for Ferrari at Jarama. And what is interesting, Mr. Rogers, at that time, the BBC World Service commentator for Formula One was Simon Taylor, who later went on to become editor of Autosport and Motorsports. And I'll never forget him saying that the victory happened because the Ferrari mechanics were very quick and changed all four tires in only 45 seconds. So the world has on a much faster speed now. And his teammate, Swiss driver Clara Gazzoni, was second. 1975, Jochen Mast from Germania, a controversial and tragic race boycotted by defending world champion Emerson Fittipaldi over safety concerns. And this was on the street circuit at Montjuic Park in Barcelona. And sadly, there was an accident involving German driver Rolf Stommelen, who later lost his life in Riverside, California. He was okay in this accident, or not seriously hurt, but I think four people were killed, and that was not a good day for motorsports. And another historical implication of this event was Italian lady Lella Lombardi, scored half a point because race was stopped early, so they only awarded half points. So she at least made history on that day. Then we have 1996. This was not the first win, but it was the first win for Michael Schumacher for Ferrari. A shining performance in the rain, in the same style as Senna in Portugal, 85, or Hamilton in Japan, 2007. You know, when this race took place, sir, on a Sunday, I was flying West Coast to East Coast, so I did not watch the race. And when I reached beautiful Brooklyn, I called my friend, Captain Bob Neal, to get the result. And he says to me, well, Schumacher won in the race. It was a Senna-like performance. So I said, what's the point in watching this race now? But I'll tell you what I did. A few weeks ago, I watched this race. Man, unbelievable performance. He was like fourth or fifth in the early goings. And then one by one, he started passing drivers in heavy rain. It was heavy rain. And once he took the lead, it was off Wiedersehen in a very, very serious fashion. Very impressive win. Okay, sir. Now we come to another very impressive, unbelievable win in 2012. Pastor Maldonado. Hombre held off local machismo to score an unforgettable victory for Williams. Still the last victory in F1 for the famous team. And Mr. Rogers, some of my favorite images or photos from Formula One history is one of the 1971 Italian Grand Prix. Four or five cars taking the checkered flag within half a second. Incredible. The photo of Mario Andretti taking the checkered flag at Monza, land where he was born, with the Lotus 77, incredible. And there's a picture which gave me humongous chills when I saw it for the first time, and that was Ayrton Senna being embraced by Fangio on the podium. Unbelievable. And Pastor Maldonado being lifted by Kimi and Alonso on the podium in Barcelona will stay with me forever. Very, very nice. Very nice and memorable day for motor racing. And of course, a great day for nation of Venezuela. And sir, another great day for Paiba, Netherlands. 2016 Max. Teenager in love with motor racing, winning on Red Bull debut. Pretty much sealing the fate for Daniel Kvyat with Dr. Marco. Max's magical win came courtesy of tricks played by Mercedes drivers on each other. So these are some of the famous first wins. Any thoughts, any smarty pants comments, sir?
All very memorable moments in Formula One.
Thank you, sir. Okay, sir, now let's see what else we have. Of course, we have our... one thing interesting, you know, they do these driver's interviews and talk about PC-ness and all that. Now, I don't know if you watch these Wednesday and Thursday interviews. Thursdays and Fridays interviews. On Thursday, they have drivers. Friday, they have team principals. And they have a video question from kids. One of the questions asked a few weeks ago was, do you prefer cats or dogs? And this time a kid asked the driver, you know, normally they have two drivers per interview. They were asked, what is the best part of being in Formula One? And Yuki Tsunoda said, enjoying Japanese and Italian food on same weekend. So good for him. Okay, sir, now we come to final analysis, and we stay on the F1 theme and present a new feature called Sears Die Hard segment, a battery of positives and negatives for the season so far. And I'll get your take on what you think. For me, the positives are Lando Norris, Carlos Sainz Jr., negatives before the Spanish Grand Prix, Daniel Ricciardo, and of course, including the Spanish Grand Prix, Sebastian Vettel. And for a short circuit, we have Yuki Tsunoda. Your positive and negatives of the season so far. It doesn't have to be drivers, it could be team or anything.
Well, I was hoping that Red Bull would be fast and actually would win every Grand Prix. And I was wrong. That's the negative. Mercedes is still dominating, will dominate probably for the next 10 years. That's got to be the positive, right?
Yes, sir. Very positive for them. Okay, sir, we come to famous last words, and today they come from Nikki Jussila. He is a Finnish commentator for the network called See More. And this is what he said about Nikita Mazepin, and I quote, "The guy can't keep the car on the track, even on a warm-up lap. He is in a situation where I don't think even he knows what to think anymore." End of quote. And sir, in celebration of Lewis's historic day once again in Barcelona, he's making some sort of history every race weekend, just like Michael Schumacher used to do in his Halcyon days. So we're going to celebrate this with some music. This is called "Is It Any Wonder" from Mr. Pete Bardens. Please enjoy, and thank you for listening.
Is it anything?